Well, greetings to each one in the precious name of Jesus. I've been blessed very much by being here. Really appreciated the message Brother Stanley shared with us on being inspired by the Word of God. You know, that's where it's all at. And I trust that we're finding our inspiration and we're finding our enjoyment. We're finding our life in the Word of God. There's a lot of things that are vying for our attention. A lot of pressures, a lot of responsibilities. As our brother shared, I think, in the devotional there about the phone calls and so forth. Are we letting those things keep us from studying the Word of God and being inspired and strengthened therein? I trust not, but I really appreciated the message and a desire to be a faithful student of the Word. And I must confess that I failed in that. You know, as our brother shared, there's a lot of commentaries, there's a lot of information, a lot of resources. And it seems as a preacher, you know, with our tight schedules and our pressures that we have, it's easy to grab those books and find an outline or find somebody else's thoughts, and we quickly try to get a message put together. The Word of God, we have it. We hold it in our hand. It's its own interpreter. Let us study. And as our brother shared, it takes work. And as I think about a ministry fueled by prayer, it's another place that takes work. It takes time. It takes effort to communicate with God and just to get away in a private place and to just pour out our hearts to God and then listen to His voice. And so, this message was for me. Brother Steve called me and asked if I would take this message. And I said I would like to listen to someone else, and I would. But I believe God wanted to speak to my heart. Is prayer really a part of our lives? Is it what fuels our life? You know, we think about fuel. We think about a fire and we put fuel on the fire and it's what makes it flame up. It's what makes it bring forth heat. It's what just lightens the path. So is prayer really what's doing that in my life, in my Christian life? You know, I started out well. I studied this topic of prayer earlier years ago, and we had a men's prayer meeting in our church. We would get together Monday mornings at 5 o'clock in the morning and have prayer. Blessed time. Blessed time. To just get together and to pray. And I believe it's one of the things that held our congregation together through some difficult times. But you know, soon people got busy doing this and doing that, couldn't make it. The group kept dwindling down, smaller and smaller and smaller, until it was just like two of us. Well, we gave it up. And I'm sorry for that. Prayer is so important. And as I looked at this subject and you look at what the Scripture has, we don't have enough time here today to go into all the Scriptures that talk about prayer and how we're commanded to pray. We're instructed to pray. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to pray continually. We need to pray. But how many of us do that? How many of us fall down on our face before God and seek His face for the decisions we're going to make, for the message we're going to share, and on we could go. A ministry fueled by prayer. First of all, I'd like to think a little bit about what is prayer. You know, we all pray. We pray before we eat. We pray before we go to bed. We pray when we get up. Is that all there is to prayer? What is prayer? Is it just some sayings, some trite sayings, some things that we memorize, maybe another prayer? You know, I hear people doing that. There's some people that just read a prayer. What is prayer? some formal, lofty-sounding sayings. You know, we think, well, if we're going to pray public, we've got to use all these lofty words and we have to make it just sound just right because of all the people listening. Is that prayer? I believe prayer is talking to God. And I was blessed by a man from our community that came to our church for quite a while and accepted the Lord as his Savior. And I was so impressed the way he prayed. He just talked to God. It didn't matter if a lot of other people were around him and who they were, but he just talked to God. And I believe it's that communing and that sharing with our Creator, our Savior, our King, our Lord and our Master, the One who is all-powerful, the Eternal One, the all-knowing, ever-present One, our Father. Our Father. Abba, Father. Do we pray in that manner? Do we just appreciate that relationship as our Savior, as our King, and as our Lord, and as the One who knows all about our needs, and He knows everything that we're going to face, and He has all the power to take us through it? Do we come to Him in that reverence and in that love and that respect that we just fall before, we just talk to Him, we just pour out our heart to Him and commune with Him? You know, I had to think, when we share with our earthly fathers, it's not a one-way conversation. We don't just go there and we tell them, well, Dad, I want this and I want that and we need to do this and we need to do that. And on and on we go and then we run off and we never listen to what he's going to say. We never listen to his advice. We never listen to his instruction. It's just so many times our prayers, I'm afraid, are just a one-way communication. That's not prayer. I believe prayer is that talking, that communing, and sharing together. And then submitting to His will and to His words. Prayer is praising and thanking our Lord for all we have received, acknowledging, confessing our dependence upon Him, and asking for His help and supply of present needs, and then the listening and submitting to that answer, I believe, are keys to prayer. Prayer is talking to God. It's spending time with Him. It's a relationship. I had to think about our earthly relationships. You know, we want to learn to know someone. It's somebody we really appreciate, our spouses. And the way that relationship is held together, the way that relationship grows deeper, is by spending time. It's by communicating. It's sharing your hearts with one another. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants from us. Last Sunday we had our communion service, and I spoke from there in Luke chapter 22. And I was just so impressed as I was meditating on the scriptures there. And I was so impressed with these words in verse 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you." With you. With desire, I have desired. I believe Jesus is just longing for us to take that time. And he's just desiring for us to just take the time out of our busy schedules and just commune with him. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. It's so wonderful that as we think about that how our Heavenly Father, who is so great, that He has such a desire to commune with us. He does. And He longs for that relationship. Do we long for that relationship with Him? So is our ministry fueled by this relationship? How much is prayer a part of our life and our ministry? Do we take time to pray? And I appreciate the song Brother Chad led there, and take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus, your Lord. The world rushes on, and those pressures are picking up. They're becoming greater. We have so many good things to do, so many responsibilities, so many things that need to be done. And what gets neglected? So many times, it's that prayer. The time of prayer and meditation on the Word of God. So do we take time to pray? Is it where we receive our strength? Is it where we get our fuel for life? Where we get our power? Where we get our strength for the day? Do we take the time to pray? Do we look forward to it? Do we anticipate that time? Or is it something that we're just obligated to do? You know, well, we get up in the morning, we read a couple verses in the Bible, and then we have maybe 5 or 10 minutes in prayer, and off to work we go. And the rest of the day, we hardly think about our blessed Lord. Oh, maybe when we get into a hard place, you know, all of a sudden something happens. We're in a dangerous place or something. We'll give a prayer to the Lord and ask for His help or so forth. But do we take time to pray? Is it something that we long to have that relationship, and we're building that relationship by taking that time to pray and seek His face? Do we believe prayer is our vital breath? You know, I've heard that from a little child. I've heard different ministers say that prayer is our vital breath. Well, do we really believe that? Do we really believe that prayer is as important to our spiritual life as inhaling and exhaling air? Do we believe that? We say we do, but do we believe it? You know, if we believe it, then we're going to breathe. We're going to breathe in and exhale out. We're going to take that time to pray. Norman Harrison says, "We will never pray as we should until we see it as a necessity indispensable to the life we have undertaken to live." And I believe that's so true. We'll never pray as we should until we see it as a necessity, just like our vital breath. We have to breathe to live, and we have to pray to live. We have to pray to minister. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, "And he spake a parable unto them unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So how much value do we put on prayer? Is it what fuels our spiritual life? You know, when we read the Bible, we're inspired by a lot of men who've accomplished great things for the Lord. I think Brother Steve had that kind of in their little outline there. It's on our program. You know, when we read the Bible, we're inspired by these great men who accomplished great things for the Lord or for God. They prayed and miracles happened. Well, what about today? Do we see God working in that way? Is He working that way in our life? You know, I had to think of Moses, how he's out there in the wilderness, and I had that great congregation of people, and they were out in the middle of the desert. They became thirsty, and they had this pool of water. They thought they could get water, but it was bitter. And God told him, they prayed unto God, and God said, cast in this branch from this tree, and the water will be healed. And they did, and they were fed. That miracle, a great miracle, when Moses prayed. Elijah prayed, and God answered and sent rain after there was a drought for 3 years. He also prayed, and the altar was consumed by the fire of God. Daniel prayed, and the lions' mouths were shut as he spent that night there in the lion's den with hungry lions. Jesus prayed. Our brother read that in our devotional this morning. Jesus prayed, and those 5 loaves and 2 fishes fed over 5,000 people. Great miracles. Oh, it's nice to read about it, but do we believe that same power, that same power is available in prayer today as we face the needs and the difficulties in our life? Do we go to prayer, or do we go to the medicine cabinet? Do we go to the commentaries? Do we go to other people? Do we go in prayer? We think a little more common times. I wanted to talk about Peter too. Peter, he prayed, or the church prayed, and Peter walked out of prison. Peter prayed and Tabitha was raised to life again. George Mueller prayed and many orphans were fed and supplied their daily needs as he was a man of prayer. He sought God for every meal, and God answered and provided for him. David Bontrager prayed and the Russian soldiers' eyes were blinded to a trunk full of Bibles. He prayed again when he was in this place where there was many people there could only speak Russian. And he preached his sermon in German, and it was heard in Russian. Beautiful Russian. Prayer. The power of prayer. Do we believe in it, and do we use it? We're inspired by it, but does it make us fall on our face and seek God? I was stuck in the airport yesterday for about 8 hours. And I was using that time to read. I was reading a book from E.M. Bounds on the power of prayer, power through prayer. Very impressed by a lot of thoughts that he had. And so I was taking them on my iPad, and I would underline them and put them over into my notes so that I could look at them this morning and kind of refresh my mind and inspire me. And there was one verse I had in there. It was in there twice. And I copied down a bunch of verses that I wanted to use. And one of them I had in there twice, so I thought, well, I'll just take that out. And I pushed the little trash can at the top. And everything went away. I said, Lord, why? Why? I wanted to use this. I wanted to just inspire me again as I kind of just did an overview of this book. And I wanted to be inspired again. And now it's gone before I got to read it all. But I believe God wanted me to just be able to call on Him. It's not the works of other men. But can I just fall on my face before God and be inspired by Him and be able to just trust Him to bring to my memory, to speak to me, and to use these lips of clay for His glory and for His honor? Or do I want it all put together by my strength and my power? Spiritual life, is our ministry fueled by prayer? Do we depend on God for everything? I'd like to think a little bit about the importance of prayer. I believe prayer is very important. I think we all believe that. But I believe prayer to God is of utmost importance, and it's an absolute necessary. We go back to 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. And Paul writes here to Timothy, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I'd like to look at that first verse. It says, I exhort therefore that first of all, and that word first of all in the Greek means to be firstly in time, place, order, or importance. So Paul is saying, first of all, prayers and supplications be made for all men and giving of thanks. And then he goes on and talks a little bit who we're to pray for and how we're to pray. And then he says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Also in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. E.M. Bounds in his book, Power Through Prayer, says this, he who fritters away the morning, its opportunity and freshness in other pursuits than seeking God's will, make poor headway seeking Him the rest of the day. If God is not first in our thoughts and efforts in the morning, He will be the last place the remainder of the day. We need a generation of preachers who seek God and seek Him early. Our laziness after God is our crying sin. And that spoke to me, I'm afraid, so many times as we see the casualness in our churches today, the casual Christianity, the casual expression and approach to God. Can it be that we are lazy and we're not seeking God first of all? We're not taking the time to meditate in His Word, to spend those early morning hours in prayer. As we look down through history, we look at men that were greatly used of God and how God blessed their ministry greatly. Many souls were brought into the kingdom through their preaching and through their ministry. They were men of prayer. They were men that spent many, many hours in prayer. Does the message of God so grip our hearts that we find ourselves in prayer for one another and for that message? Not only is prayer important, but prayer is our spiritual weapon of defense and offense. It's a weapon of defense against weakness, disease, or accident. We see that in James 5, 13 to 16. James says, is any afflicted? Let him pray. Is any sick? Let him call for the elders that they may pray over him. It's the prayer of faith that shall save the sick. And so prayer, it's the defense against sickness and weakness and accidents and so forth. You know, nothing just happens when it's been prayed about first. And so when we come to that place and we just give ourselves wholly unto God, we've submitted ourselves to His will, we've asked for His guidance and His care over us for the day, and we just submit to that, whatever happens that day, it's not an accident. It's not something that just happened. But it's the will of God. We're giving ourselves to Him. We've prayed about it and submitted ourselves to Him. And so prayer is our defensive weapon against accidents and things happening. Sure, God can allow them to happen, but we won't look at it that way. We will recognize it as God's will to teach and to use us, whatever it might be, that where He wants to bring us. It's a defense for the mind against deceit, delusion, and discouragement. We think of Jesus there in Mark 1, 32 to 39, after He healed the sick. Many were brought to Him there, and He healed them all that evening or that day. He was there healing the people, casting out devils. And it said then that that next day, rising a great while before day, He went and prayed. If Jesus needed to pray, what about us? What about us? When we're facing the battles of the day, the temptations to pride, the temptations to self-will, the temptations to the lust of the flesh, and all the other temptations that we face, do we not need to pray? Do we not need to take that time and continually seek the face of God and just have our relationship, our love relationship with Him renewed every day over and over again so that we remain faithful and are kept from deceit and delusion and discouragements? I believe prayer is a defense for the spirit against bad moods and jealousy and bitterness and etc. You know, you can't be jealous or bitter at someone if you're praying for them and thanking God for them. Have you ever tried that? Someone you just can't get along with, somebody that's really rubbed you the wrong way, someone that has transgressed, someone that has spoken evil of you. It's kind of hard to go there and get down in prayer, in honest prayer, and thank God for them, for that person, and continue to be bitter or upset at them, or in a bad mood. You know, when we're thanking God for the blessings we have, it's hard to be in a bad mood. When you start, just your mind is thinking about all the blessings that we experience from Christ Jesus, who He is, what He's done, and how He's working in our life, and we just start seeing Him working in every area of our life, and your heart is overflowing with thanksgiving, you can't be in a bad mood. That's why Jesus says we need to pray without ceasing. We need to continually pray, so that we can keep our spirits where they need to be. We need to also, prayer is a weapon of defense for the will. It's against it protects us, or it defends against the paralyzing fear or crippling indecision. And we see this in Daniel. You know, when the king said that they are to bow down to no other gods for 30 days, he could have been crippled by that fear. But he went home and he opened up his window and he prayed just like he always did. Prayer protected him. Prayer defended him against that paralyzing fear and crippling indecisions. I believe it's a weapon of offense also. Through God, through prayer, God unfolds His purpose, gives inspiration, strength, and power to our lives and our message. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Do we really believe that God answers prayer? Do we really go to Him in faith, believing and asking for our need, whatever it might be, and seeking Him with all of our heart, knocking? Do we believe it will be open to us? James 4, 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Submitting yourself to God, drawing nigh to Him, and He draws nigh to us. He's the one that gives us the inspiration. He's the one that gives strength and power to our lives and to our message that we preach. It is only by the filling and the inspiration of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. Picked up a thought somewhere that Satan cannot get to a praying Christian. And I believe that is so true. When we're on our knees and we're praying to God, we're on our face continually before Him, submitting our will to Him in obedience and just seeking that guidance, fueling our fire by that relationship with Him, Satan cannot get into us and tempt us as he would like. And so we need to continually give ourselves to prayer. Prayer is important also to keep our estimation of ourselves in line. And I think that is so true. You know, it's so easy. The devil is so active at getting us off in one ditch or the other. He's trying anything he can. And it's so, we're so susceptible to that if we're not continually keeping that relationship alive with Jesus Christ. It's so easy for us to become proud. It's so easy for us to think we've got it under control, to just handle it in our own strength, to go our own way. And the devil knows that. And so he brings distractions, all kinds of things to keep us from prayer. But when we pray, it's humbling to recognize that we can't do it on our own. It's humbling to cry out for help. And so prayer keeps us in that form or in that way. I believe God is honored when we see our weakness and inability to provide for ourselves and acknowledge His providence. God is honored. He longs for us to just come to Him. As that Father, He's waiting and He's holding out His arms. He's waiting for us to recognize our inability, recognize our lack of strength, and that we just need Him, and we flee unto Him. We run into His arms, seeking His care and His power over us. What a blessing and what an honor it brings to Him, and it keeps us in the place we need to be. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If my people will humble themselves, recognize we need God, recognize we need His help. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot minister on our own. We cannot preach on our own strength. We need God's help. And we just call upon Him and we submit ourselves to Him. That's when He will answer and He will give the message. He will give the strength to do the work that we're called to do. Acts 4:29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word." Again, the prayer of the disciples there, or the apostles, whenever they were threatened not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus, they went out and they prayed. They said, "Lord, you heard their threatenings. Now grant thy servants that boldness they may preach or may speak thy word." We not must recognize our inability and our own weaknesses so that God can use us for His glory. How is prayer like fuel? I'd like to think a little bit about like that a little bit here this afternoon. How is prayer like fuel? Well, when we're thanking and praising God, verbalizing His goodness, greatness, blessings, and answered prayer, it's like adding wood or fuel to the fire. Our heart is warmed with gratitude. And I'm so blessed in the mornings when I can just get away with God and just start thanking Him. And I believe that's why Thanksgiving needs to be first in our prayer. When we come to God, I believe we just need to not start out with all of our needs that we have, but we first of all recognize what God has done and is doing. And we just pour out our thanksgiving. It warms our heart. It's just like fuel to the fire. It just warms our heart, and our faith is built up. Our faith, as we start verbalizing what God has done yesterday and the day before, how He answered that prayer, how He interceded, how He provided for us, and He worked. When we start recognizing that and verbalizing that, it builds our faith. It's easier to trust Him for the next thing that comes today or tomorrow as we verbalize and thank Him for His work that He's doing in our life. Our faith, I believe, is kept alive by prayer. And that's so important. We need prayer. We need that time. It's the fuel that keeps our faith alive and our trust alive when we can recognize the work of God in our life. Fire is dependent upon fuel, and I believe whenever we pray, seeking guidance and expressing our needs, confessing our failures and pleading for mercy and forgiveness, and we're confessing our dependence upon God when we do that. And that's just like fueling the fire. It's like putting the wood on the fire and flaming. The flame grows greater as we confess and recognize our needs and seek the help of God in our life. I believe undisturbed time with someone we love only fuels the relationship with greater passion and appreciation. You know, as we look at our earthly relationships, our relationships with our spouses, that undisturbed time when we can just get away and just be by ourselves and just commune heart to heart. We just share our hearts with each other. It just fuels that flame of love in our hearts. It does. You can't get away from it. When you do that, and you just have that, you give each other your undivided attention, your hearts overflow with love. And it's the same way in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we want our ministry to flow with that love for Jesus, we need to take that time, undisturbed time, and just commune with Him and talk to Him, thank Him, pour out your heart, pour out your needs, seek His guidance. Seek His forgiveness. Thank Him for His forgiveness and His mercy. Draw nigh to Him and He will draw nigh to you. I believe real prayer brings us close to the heart of God. So then why is it so easy to neglect prayer? You know, as I thought about this message, you know, I thought about what it does, what prayer does for my life. I start thinking and remembering and just the blessing that it is to take that time and study the Word and just commune with Him. There's no better place on earth than to be in that place. It's such a sweet communion. Why do we neglect it? Why is it so easy to put that last? Why is it so easy to have work first? And we run off and we don't take the time to study the Word and to pray and seek God's face. Well, I believe one of the things is self-sufficiency. You know, we're educated. We have Bible schools, Sunday schools, Christian schools. We know the Word of God. And that's all good. It's all necessary. But we can get up and we have the knowledge, and so we can share a topic, we can share a message, we can do all those things in our own sufficiency so many times. And how sad. We have lots of resources, as our brother said, a lot of commentaries. And with the electronic age, so many things are available so quickly. We can have information, and it's easy to run to that instead of falling on our face and just seeking God and staying there until we hear that answer from God. And that's my desire, that I can take that time and just let God speak, let God work in my life. If we're going to have a message to share, if we're going to be inspired and inspire our congregations with the message, it must come from that time of communing with the Lord Jesus Christ. That face-to-face contact. That pouring out and falling on our faces before Him. I believe pride is another thing that gets in the way of us neglecting prayer so easy. You know, we don't like to admit we have needs. We don't like to ask for help. And as I think about, you know, sometimes in our church discipline and administration, how much time do we pray before we do these, before we discipline, or before we speak to someone, before we, as we administrate in our congregations, how much time are we seeking God in prayer? Are we seeking His direction and His will? Well, this is the way the other congregations have done it. This is the way this church handled that problem. That's the way they did it. And we go by that so many times instead of just coming to God and asking Him to speak to us and to show us instead of trying to figure it out on our own way. I believe another reason it's so easy to neglect is the love of the world and busyness. Love of the world and busyness. As we mentioned already, so many responsibilities, so many good things, so many activities, you know, and we have these pressures to make a living and to succeed and all those other things. And so our spiritual life so many times takes the back seat and we run off without that time of communion and fellowship with our blessed Lord. We say we love Him, but is He first in our life? Is He where we get our inspiration and our strength for each day. I'm afraid so many times we're so fat and full of selfish activities and worldly ambitions, we have no time to draw near to God in prayer. We know it's good. We know it's necessary. We know the Bible commands it. We know it. We're instructed to pray without ceasing, but we are so fat with all the selfish activities and worldly ambitions, we don't take the time to draw near to Him. Unbelief. I believe maybe is another area where the reason we neglect it, we don't really know if God cares. We don't really know if God really wants to be bothered with this thing in our life, this little thing. It may be just a little deal. And so we try to handle it in our own strength. And so I ask the question this afternoon, do you really believe God hears and answers prayer? Do you really believe that He can move that mountain and cast it into the sea? Physically or naturally, whatever you want to say, or spiritually, those spiritual mountains, do you really believe that God can move them? Are you submitted to His will and seeking His face in that way? I believe that it's so easy for us not really to believe. We say we do, but our prayer life speaks otherwise. Indifference. I wanted to read something here I had from Dr. Guthrie just to illustrate this fact. I think it's kind of humorous, but it's sad. I'm afraid this is many times the way we pray and not really believing. Dr. Guthrie, that great Scotch preacher, prayed in the morning service for rain. As he went to church in the afternoon, little Mary, his daughter, said, "Here is the umbrella, Papa." "What do we need that for?" he asked. "Well, you prayed for rain this morning, and don't you expect God will send it?" They carried the umbrella, and when they came home, they were glad to take shelter under it from the drenching storm. God does that, you know. But so many times that's the way we pray. We pray that God would do this or do that. We ask for this to be done, but we don't really believe that He's going to do it. We don't expect it to happen. And so we say, well, that wasn't His will. And I think we need to pray according to His will. That is important. We need to allow God that opportunity. Maybe what we're asking for is not in the right timing. Maybe it's not what He feels is best for this moment. So we need to be submitted to His will in our life. But I believe we need to watch out that we're not praying in unbelief, not really believing that God can do what we're asking or that He will do it. Indifference, I think, is another thing that keeps us from prayer. We're only concerned about ourselves. You know, we become such a selfish people. And the Scriptures tell us over and over that we need to prefer a brother above ourselves. We need to serve one another. We need to wash one another's feet. We need to pray for each other. But so often it's only about us, my needs, what I'm facing, what I'm going through. And we don't really intercede for our brothers and sisters. And as I study for this message, I was convicted of that we need to pray for one another, those in our congregation. And I was just so impressed as I looked at, I just started going through the Scriptures and looking at Paul's life. And I wish I had the time to go through them, but just do that sometime. Start in each one of the books that Paul wrote, I believe you can find in every one of them where he prayed for them. He tells them, he says, I remember you in all my prayers and give thanks for you. And you can just go through the different ones. And I wanted to have those wrote down, and I didn't get them there this morning. But there, you can go to Colossians. In Colossians, he says, "For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." Can you hear the heartthrob of Paul for all those churches, all the people that he preached to? He says, "I make mention of you in my prayers always, and I give thanks to you, and I pray that you'll be faithful. I pray that you'll be able to stand the test of time, that you'll be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks to God." And so he prayed for his people daily, continually. Are we guilty of not praying for our people? I have been. But by God's grace and help, I want to pray for each one in our congregation every day. I want to take their needs and present them to God. I want to pray for our other churches. And you say, well, how can I get anything done when we take so much time in prayer? What is first? Are we seeking God first? Is it where we're getting our fuel for the day? Are we just taking that time to pray for one another and lift them up to the throne of grace? We need prayer. And I think that's so important that we don't think just about ourselves, but we pray for one another. Another thing that keeps us from prayer is sin. You know, the Bible says if there's iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. And so many times we're afraid to come to God in prayer, to open our hearts to Him, to really fall on our face before Him, because He might reveal something in my life that I need to change. And so I like it where I'm at, and I don't want to be something else revealed that I need to do. And so we just stand off and we have a formal prayer and we go on our life and not really draw near to God. What are the results of a ministry or life fueled by prayer? Well, we can look at the apostles in the early church. We can see the results there. In Acts 6:4, the apostles, as they had a lot, as the church was growing, and there was physical needs in the church, and the apostles said, we need to call out, we need to choose 7 other brethren to take care of these needs so that we might give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. And what happened when they did that? You can see in 1 Thessalonians 1:2, Paul is here praying for the Thessalonian church. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And then in verse 6-9, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of much affliction and with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living God. To serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I believe that is a result of Paul's prayer for that church. They were in samples. They were sounding forth the word of truth so that Paul didn't even need to speak anything about that church there. Their life was giving testimony to the power of God in their lives and to the answer to Paul's prayer. I believe another result of a life fueled or a ministry fueled by prayer, it will keep us humble. We will be a humble person as we recognize our need and we are continually on our face to God, before God, recognizing we're undone, we're unable to go in our own strength, and we need His help continually and daily. It'll make us willing to confess our sins as we stand and as we commune with the Holy God. And we'll realize that we need His forgiveness upon our life. And so we won't try to hide sin in our life when we keep that relationship fueled by those times of prayer and meditation upon God's Word. We'll be filled with a compassion and a zeal for the flourishing of the church. As we feel the heartthrob of God. And I just love to go and read John 17. We read there the high priestly prayer of Jesus and how His heart was overflowing with love for us, His people, for His church. And He just prayed that they would be faithful and that they would have a love for one another so that the whole world would know that that He is Christ and that we are His disciples as they see that love for one another. You just see His heart throb. He prays that God would keep them from the evil, that God would not take them out of the world, but that He would strengthen them. And He just lifts them up to God. Are we praying that kind of intercessory prayer for our brothers and sisters? Do we have that longing and that compassion for the progression of the church or the prospering of the church? And I believe as we spend time in prayer, it also puts that longing in our heart to see Jesus face to face. And see Ephesians 1, 16. Ephesians 1, 16 to 19. Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. longing to know God better, to see God, and to just understand Him and be able to commune and see Him face to face, to see His glory, and to be in His presence. That time of prayer, as that relationship is built, will put that longing within our hearts. I believe another result of a ministry fueled by prayer is the messages will inspire and convict. When God gives the message, it is God's Spirit that will speak life into the hearers. It's God's Spirit that will inspire and convict the listeners. But it needs to be a part of us. It needs to come from God. Our messages are powerless, and our words are powerless. It needs the Spirit of God to empower and to convict. And I believe miracles will happen. Yes, God is able. The same God that opened the way through the Red Sea, and they went through on dry ground. The same God that delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. The same God that fed over 5,000 people with five loaves and two fishes. He can still do those miracles today. Do we believe Him? Do we have that relationship with Him? Can we trust Him to work His work in our life and in the lives of those we're praying for? So is prayerlessness still a threat, or is it a reality in our life? Prayerlessness. You need to answer that question. Do you take time to pray? Is it precious to you? Is it where you get your strength for the day, your inspiration for your message? Do you take that time to seek the face of God and His will, or do we minister in our own strength? I trust not, but I trust that we can have a continual renewing of our vision of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ and that relationship, that we relish that relationship, we cherish it with all of our heart, and we just long and we take the time to spend that time with Him each day. May God bless us and help us to minister with the power of prayer in our life.